gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. It is written, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. It is written, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It is written, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her.
For God is just a prayer away.
And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought in unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be friend of all, the foe, the friendless. I would be giving and forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and laugh and love and lift. I would be true. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled Joseph and Potiphar's Wife. In Genesis chapter 39, when Joseph was sold by his brothers for 20 pieces of silver to a band of slave traders going into Egypt, he was purchased by Potiphar, the captain of the guard to Pharaoh. In all of this affliction, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph and decided to cash in on it. So he advanced Joseph quickly and made him the overseer of everything, his house, his other slaves, the entire works. Everything was going along well for Potiphar at this point. He prospered as never before because the Lord saw to that. Now the plot thickens. Potiphar's wife propositioned Joseph. Verse 7 of Genesis 39 of this chapter says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. It says, but he refused. He absolutely refused. The same temptation came to Joseph many times. For it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Today we would call that sexual harassment. Then one day she had her chance. All the servants were off for the day, and Joseph came in to perform his duties. None of the men of the household were present. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It is said that there is no fury like the fury of a woman scorned. And Joseph was about to find that out. She laid up the garment that she snatched off of Joseph, and when Potiphar came home, she showed him the coat and said, "The Hebrew servant, which thou brought in unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, how she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And Joseph was there in the prison. Now, in the world view of things, what good does it do to live a moral life if this is the way he is going to be rewarded? To the world, Joseph looks like a fool. He gave up a good career for the dungeon. However, there is another view as to whether he was such a fool or not. In the book of Psalms 105, there's a reference to that event. It says, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance. You see, Joseph passed the test and was not a fool after all. It is not to be thought for a moment's time, however, that this was an easy test for Joseph when it says, But he refused. This would be a great temptation, and the outcome of this ordeal would have far-reaching effects. The destiny of many people hung in the balance. Those words, but he refused, are loaded and heavy with future plans that God had in mind for Joseph. If he had not been faithful, he would never have become the prime minister of Egypt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are 9 reasons why the temptation was an exceedingly great trial for Joseph. Reason number 1. There was such a great temptation for Joseph here because of the fact that he was a young man. In Genesis 37, it is mentioned that he was 17 years old at the time he was sold by his brothers. They sold him stark naked into a band of Ishmaelites going down into Egypt, and we might reasonably suppose it might have taken a little time for Joseph to advance to the position of overseer of all the holdings of Potiphar, who owned him. But in either case, Joseph was still a young man, perhaps in his early 20s. Up to this time, he had lived a sheltered life as the favorite son of Jacob, his father. And now, here on the threshold of young manhood, this would be his first experience of this kind. It must have been a great temptation to him when Potiphar's wife openly and brazenly said, Lie with me. But he refused. There is no element of modern-day life that we could have transposed to that period. Pornography, X-rated movies, or what is called peer pressure, that could have made this temptation any greater than it was. No young man of this day and time was under any greater temptation than Joseph at this moment. When you consider his youth, it must have been a great temptation. Hear it again. She said, Lie with me. But he refused. The second reason it was a great temptation was that Joseph himself was a very desirable young man. Verse 6 says that he was a goodly person and well favored. One of the modern versions says he was handsome and well proportioned. Potiphar's wife must have thought, that Joseph was a real hunk. However, Potiphar had recognized the administrative talent of Joseph early when he advanced him to such a high position. He jumped him above all the others, and he made him overseer of everything. Joseph was a young corporate executive. He was a man marked for greatness. He had a great future. All of these things would have worked on his ego. He would have been tempted to think, "I am a cut above the rest. This might not be right for my brothers, but I'm different." Because of this, it must have been a great temptation. Hear it again. Lie with me. But he refused. A third reason this must have been a great temptation was because he was single. He had no girlfriend, no wife. He was unattached. There were no strings to the situation. I am perfectly in the clear. This is Mrs. Potiphar's problem. It is Captain Potiphar's problem. If she wants to do something like this and break her wedding vows, that is her business. It's no concern of mine. Because of this, it must have been a great temptation when she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. Reason number four. The fourth reason that it was such a great temptation was because of the fact that Mrs. Potiphar, or Elikta, her traditional name, owned him. He was her slave. She could order him to do whatever she desired. True, she would not want it to be known, but she could make it difficult for him. Who knows? She might have brought pressure to bear on her husband and had him demoted to the rank of field hand. She could have sent him to pick cotton, or whatever the Egyptians picked at that time. There would be no end of afflictions that she could bring to bear on his obstinacy. This would be what modern-day people would call job security. My car payment, insurance premiums, a person has to live. Joseph, no doubt, was aware of all this, and it must have entered into his mind. It is the political thing to do. I really can't afford to resist this woman under the circumstances. Although, I would not do this with anyone else. In her case, there is no way that I can get out of it. This must have been a tremendous temptation for Joseph when we hear her say, "Lie with me." But he refused. Reason number five. This is a great temptation because it was not just a one-time thing. It was not a one-time pass. At the first refusal, she might have been too embarrassed to try again, but this is not the case. Verse 10 says, "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her." If it had happened just once, we might have understood how, under the surprise of the moment and with his inexperience, he might have refused. But it was not a one-time experience. It happened every day. Every day she gave a fresh proposition. "Lie with me." But he refused. Joseph not only refused to submit, but the key to his daily refusal is seen in the fact that he would not consent even to be with her. There were no extended conversations when he came into the house. It was strictly a matter of business. He spent no extra time with her. He hearkened not unto her to lie with her or even to be with her. To spend time with her would have been like an alcoholic saying, "I won't drink, but I will go to the saloon and sit there with my friends and drink lemonade." This would have been a device of the devil to wear him down. Because of this day-by-day experience, it must have been exceedingly great temptation when she said to Joseph, "Lie with me." But he refused. Reason number six that this was such a great temptation was because Elikta, or Mrs. Potiphar, was not a tramp. She was not a prostitute. She was not what is called a whore. She was what would be called today a call girl. She was not a pickup off the street. She was strictly a high-class gal. She was in the Egyptian upper crust. Her husband was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, a member of Pharaoh's cabinet. This was strictly high-class stuff. This would play on his ego, plus the fact that there would be very little likelihood of catching AIDS or whatever the current malady there was at that time. Or on top of this, Mrs. Potiphar would probably keep her mouth shut, and Captain Potiphar would never know. Stir all that together, and it makes for a pretty strong temptation. One wonders how he ever found the strength to resist when she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. A seventh reason that it must have been a great temptation was because under the circumstances, he, being a slave, had no rights. Who would blame him for such an act anyway? It wasn't really his choice. Mrs. Potiphar, Elikta, seduced him. People would say, under the circumstances, Joseph is not to blame, even though the whole town would have enjoyed talking about it. Even Jacob, his father, would have a hard time thinking evil of his favorite son if he should ever find out. If there would be any blame, it would be all on Mrs. Potiphar. This must have entered into his mind to give this a temptation greater force when she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. The eighth reason the temptation was one of the greatest temptations was the fact that they were alone at last. Verse 11 says, "It came to pass about that time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there were none of the men of the house there within." They were alone. No one else was around. None of the men of the house were within. The butler and the servants were all out. Mrs. Potiphar probably sent them on an errand somewhere to give her plenty of time. The drapes are pulled. The doors are locked. Nobody's around. Honeypot is down at the palace guarding the king. Who's to see? We are all alone. Verse 12 says, "She caught him by the garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Joseph's garments were mentioned. Joseph's coats always got him in trouble. As a boy, Jacob, his father, had given him a coat of many colors. That coat was taken off him by his brothers, dipped in blood, and shown to their father. So here comes Joseph wearing this fancy Egyptian sports coat, and Mrs. Potiphar ripped it off of him. Because of this high-pressure situation, it must have been tremendous temptation when she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. The ninth reason that it was such a great temptation was because of Mrs. Potiphar's appearance, her looks. Some might say the reason that Joseph was able to resist her was because she was a drag. Some would say a real dog. I saw a movie many years ago about a preacher who was giving some advice to a very attractive young lady. And the preacher told her, "You will have greater temptations in life than some of your sisters who are protected by the shapes of sows." Mrs. Potiphar did not have the shape of a sow. Was this the reason that Joseph was able to resist her? I think the evidence is to the contrary. It seems that Joseph was attracted to her. Note how it says, "He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." He fled. He got out of there so fast as he could. Mrs. Potiphar was no sow, no dog, no drag. Joseph learned 1,500 years earlier than the lesson of the Apostle Paul when he said later on, "Flee fornication." All of these reasons combined to make this one tremendous temptation. But Joseph did not submit when she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. Now, in conclusion, how was Joseph able to resist this woman? There are three reasons we find in this chapter. The first reason that gave him help is in the 9th verse, where Joseph speaks to Mrs. Potiphar, telling her of his position, and how Potiphar trusts him with everything. Then he says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph tells Elikta that what she wants to do is a great wickedness. There is no rationalizing the sin. No saying, "This is the end thing to do. Everybody's doing it." Just like the television shows today that preach to the American public week after week, it's everybody's doing it. Paul tells in 1 Corinthians 6:9 that this audience today is being deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." The second reason he found help in this pressure cooker was when he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He doesn't mention the sin against Captain Potiphar, the sin against Mrs. Potiphar, the sin against his own body, the sin against his soul, the sin against his family, all of which was true, but he refers to this as a sin against God. Many years ago, someone wrote a novel called Joseph and His Brothers. In that story, Joseph says to Elikta, "How can I sin against God?" And in that story, Potiphar's wife took off her dress and threw it over the head of a statue of an Egyptian god and said, "Now God cannot see." Joseph replies, "My God sees." It is much help in overcoming temptation to know that God sees all. He doesn't miss a thing. It is helpful to remember that we shall all answer to God. And the third thing that helped Joseph is when he says to Potiphar's wife, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin? How can I? Joseph never forget who he was. He was the great-grandson of Abraham. He was the grandson of Isaac. His father was Jacob. He was a member of the chosen race. He was special. "How can I do this great wickedness?" He could not forget who he was. "How can I, an elder, do this wickedness? I, a deacon in the Church of Christ, I, a preacher in the Church of Christ, how can I, a Christian who have been bought with a price, do this great wickedness?" Never, never, never forget who you are. It is well to remember that the fidelity of Joseph set in motion a chain of events that made him, after a few years, the prime minister of Pharaoh. Had he not resisted this temptation, God would have had to provide some other way to deliver the people from the famine that was to come. Some now will never know what they could have done with their lives if they had only passed the test that came their way. A poet, John Greenleaf Whittier, has said, "Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, 'It might have been.'" Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.